Hallelujah. The last three times, including this one, the last two and then this one, we've talked about some things that have meant so much to me and have changed my life. And the first thing we talked about was believing that God really loves you. He really loves you. He thinks about you. He cares about you. He loves you more than anyone else. And we forget that, you know. We get so bogged down in this or that. And sometimes we get to be like Peter and say, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care about me? Why, that's like slapping him in the face. He cares so much about you. That was another week, get the CD. Last week we talked about another thing that has made a big impact on my life, and that is you are forgiven by God. Now you might say, well, I learned that in children's church, in Sunday school. Why are you bringing that back up? I'm bringing it back up because it has become real to me. I really am forgiven. I don't have to suffer shame, disappointment, frustration. Am I perfect? No. Is Jesus perfect? Yes. And he said, I forgive you. I forgive you for everything you're ever going to do. You can get the CD of that also. Tonight, we're going to talk about the next thing that impacted my life totally. And that is that you have a creative voice. You have a voice. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Wonder what the first slide says. Nope. Just leave it right there. It's fine. But I want to read you something the Lord told me. He said, write this down. And so I did. I believe I have a creative voice in the earth that I can use to work with God, that can change situations and circumstances according to the will of God. Now, you know I believe that because many times in church I'll pray about the weather. I believe I have a creative voice. I believe my words make a difference. And I believe yours do too. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How your words make a difference, not just in your life, which that's very important, but also in the lives of those around you. And then you can use your voice for anything on the earth, I believe. So this first scripture, Proverbs 25:11. I thought I'd put a few pictures in tonight, keep it interesting. I saw someone yawn last week, so. Oh, it was me. No. I want some pictures. And this scripture says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Trying to give you a picture of how precious your words can be. The fitly spoken word. You know, someone will come to you and they'll begin to complain and they're going to begin to, they're really crying out for help with their words. Well, what do you say? You need a fitly spoken word to diffuse the situation or to encourage them or to bring them to where God wants them to think. Amen. I don't have this scripture, but there's one that says, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But, I like to go on to the but part. But, my thoughts are not his, but my thoughts can change to be like his. And if my thoughts change to be like his, my words will change to be like his. And so I will have a fitly spoken word. Amen? What's the next one? Now, this scripture is very important. To me, this is like super foundation. And you could say, well, duh, you're reading about something that happened in the beginning. Of course it's foundation. But it wasn't just for then. It's something God put in motion for the rest of eternity. And this is what it says. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, that would be Adam and Eve, and said to them, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. Now, dominion means authority, responsibility. You're in charge. You know, some people just seem like they're natural born leaders. But here's the point. All of us were created to lead in some way or another. That's just another word for take dominion. So if you come home and you say, now, I'm just speaking from the Holy Spirit. So if you think I'm pointing things to you, that's him, not me, okay? I haven't talked to any of you about these situations. But if you come home and you say, my feet hurt so bad, who has dominion? You do. You have authority. And so you need to speak to your feet. Your feet, they're your feet, they belong to you, and they've got to obey you. I don't know if you've ever thought about talking to your feet. I talk to my liver and various other parts of my body. I heard someone told me that Kenneth Hagin said, who's Kenneth Hagin? Well, he's in heaven now, but he was a faith teacher, and he said, I feel good. He was 83, I think, when he passed. I feel good. I feel fine. Body, get in line. Let's say that. I feel good. I feel fine. Body, get in line. In other words, my body doesn't always feel good or feel fine, but I'm telling it, it has to obey me. I'm talking about dominion. You have dominion. You can tell things what to do. You might say, well, I don't know how. You got somebody that wants to teach you, and his name is Holy Spirit. Amen? What's that next scripture, Amy? Words have power. Oh, go back. I wanted to tell this funny story. It says, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that creeps, that moves on the earth. Years ago, I was just learning this, my first learning. I didn't know. I was grown up, but I didn't know it. And so someone was going to drive me to work. I can't remember why. But I was going to walk up the road to the cross street and meet them. Well, I'm happy just thinking about Jesus and excited because I'm learning stuff about God. And here comes this little dog, black colored. The owner of the dog had shaved the poor baby. Well, he might not have been a baby. But anyway, had shaved his body except for the fur around his face and head. And he looked similar to a little baby black lion. It would be cute, except they had also trained him to be as mean as a lion. And he started coming after me. I'm just not really knowledgeable in how to make dogs happy or go away. And I'm not talking about a little chihuahua. I mean, he was planning to do some biting. And so I said, in my newfound learning of my authority and dominion, I turned around and said, in Jesus' name, you turn around and go home and don't bother me again. He goes, meow, 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 meow. This is great. I love this. It's working. So I turned around, kept on my way, and of all things, that dog came back. Ruff, 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 ruff. No chain. He's not chained anything. He's coming after me. Ruff, 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 ruff. I said, it worked once. Let's try again. I turned around. In Jesus' name, dog, you go home and stop bothering me. In the name of Jesus, go on. So he went back home. This is good. I'm going to slide. Not quite as confident as I was the other time. I'm going to hurry up. Maybe my ride will be here. Of all things, here comes the dog again. And I said, you spirit that's using that dog, in Jesus' name, you get down. You crawl the dust of the earth. You leave that dog alone and you leave me alone in Jesus' name. He went, and he didn't come back. Thank you, Jesus. Of course, my ride came also pretty soon. But I'm trying to show you, this is a learning process. I didn't just wake up one day and said, I've got authority, I can do anything. No, I was practicing on the lion/dog. But you do have authority, dominion, over every living thing that lives on the earth. And if you have pets, if you love pets, that's part of your dominion. That, you know, praying for them to be healed and taking care of them, that's part of your dominion. If you don't have pets and the neighbor does, put that wall up in Jesus' name so they don't bother you. Okay, words have power for good or evil. This, to me, that's the crux of our whole teaching. Your words have power. Your words. And we're so used to just saying whatever we want to, saying whatever we feel, saying mostly in response to something else. I noticed myself even this week, I was driving, two or three people pulled out in front of me. And before I knew it, I said, "So you want to do that, huh?" And I thought, I'm going to teach on words, and here I am using mine incorrectly. Your words have power. I told the Lord, I said, you might have heard me say this before. I said, I want a sign that I can raise up and say, this word has power. Use it for the kingdom of God. And another sign that says, ignore these words. That's not how God works. He has created you to work with him. And he's given you power. He's given you authority. He's given you dominion all the time. It's not something you can turn off and turn on. Lord, I'm really tired and everything annoys me, so don't listen for a little while, okay? No, it doesn't work that way. He wants us to change, to be in his image. Wouldn't we be in trouble if God said, time out, I'm going to lose my temper for a minute. The whole world may explode, which it probably would if he lost his temper, amen. No, he is the same all the time. And that's what we need to be. That's what that word patient means. We've thought that patient means you can stand anything. But no, patient means you're the same. If it's good, you're the same. If it's bad, you're the same because you're trusting in his love. Amen? What's next? Oh, yeah, so I just want to make sure it was clear. Your words have power if they're good words, if they agree with God. Your words have power if they're bad words and they agree with the devil. And believe me, the devil is all the time whispering in your ear, trying to get you to agree with him. Oh, it looks like it's going to be a storm. Who are you agreeing with? The storm maker, right? Oh, my goodness. This washing machine is just about to wear out. I'm just throwing a bunch of examples out, okay, of how we just talk without thinking. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get this grass cut down. You don't? Well, why don't you go to God? Maybe he'll bring you someone. You see, we cut out the help of God with our own words. There's even a Bible verse that says, your words are stout against me. In other words, God wants to do something for us, but we're so busy talking against it getting fixed, we don't know we're talking against God. I'm just talking against it getting fixed. And we hinder him. We shut the door. We bind him. We don't want to do that. So every once in a while, frequently, I bind my own words. I say, I refuse for my own words to be used against me, Lord. I loose you to fix my life, to help me in all ways, because you know I need it. Praise God. Well, so this scripture says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You've heard people say it. My back is killing me. Really? Really? You think your back is going to cause you to die? Oh, my head. It's, what's the common phrase for a headache? Anyway. Yes, yes. Or my feet are killing me. Or, you know, we assign death all the time to these things. Let's start assigning life. Start assigning life. And those who love it, what do they love? They love life or death. They love the words that they're speaking. They'll eat its fruit. I know some people that have real temper problems. It's like they love to have a temper tantrum. I'm sorry to use the word love like that, but that seems like they do love to have a temper tantrum. They call it venting. They call it expressing themselves. They call it some other words I can't remember. But what they're really doing is loving death. And it's their own death that they are promoting. Let's move on. That's getting a little too close to home. So I wrote in my Bible a little note. It says, words can satisfy. Words can satisfy. You know that feeling of eating a good meal and your tummy's happy. You didn't eat too much. It was all the right things. You feel so good. your mouth feels satisfied, your body feels satisfied. Well, with what comes out of your mouth, the words, can also satisfy. Have you ever had, I mean, surely you have, said the right thing at the right time, and it felt so good. Thank you, Lord. And later that person comes and says, that's just what I needed to hear. Thank you. That's satisfying. That next thing says, words produce. In other words, I mean to say, words are like a crop. So I plant a seed. If I do the right things, it's going to grow up and it's going to have a harvest. Well, your words that you're planting have a harvest. Amen. Okay, next. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I use the word all the time, don't I? I mean to say, you can turn wrath or you can feed the fire, so to speak, depending on your response, your words. Amen. Go ahead. James 3:2 says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. I mean, our words flood out before we can catch them almost, you know. Next, James 18:26. But I say to you, now this is a warning Jesus gave. For every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now what is an idle word? That's those that just come out and you didn't even think about it. It did not pass your brain. It did not pass go. It just flew from emotion to mouth. And so that's kind of, we're going to be judged for all that. Thank God we already had the teaching about being forgiven. Amen. You're forgiven for the idle words, but we don't want them out there producing the wrong thing. Now, words can be a weapon in your mouth. I don't know about you. I was raised a tomboy. We had knives, and we would stand there and throw the knife in the ground and see how far we could stretch our legs without putting the knife in our toe. We had BB guns. We had 22. I told you about that story. My brother, he was 7 years older than I. By the way, he's out of the hospital. Thank you, Jesus. And anyway, he would take me with him. He wanted to go shoot the gun, and our parents wouldn't let him go by himself, so he had to drag his sister along. So he's about 10. No, he's about 12, and I'm about 5. He might have been 14. You know, we're 7 years apart. Come on, Liz, come on. So he would take the gun, and then he'd say, now, this is how you hold it, but he wouldn't let me hold it. This is how you hold it, and this is where you pull the trigger, but he wouldn't let me pull the trigger, you know. This is how you, but he wouldn't let me do anything. Finally, we're getting ready to leave, and he lets me have a turn, okay? So I'm trying to put it up there. Oh, no. But I anyway, so he would let me shoot maybe one time of this whole afternoon's experience. Well, when I got married the first time, I married a guy in the Army. And we were young and didn't know what to do with free time. So we would go out into the field. And one time we found this old water heater lying out there. Somebody had discarded it. And he took his 22. His dad had given him a 22, and he took it and said, let's go shooting. Come on. And so he shot some things. He said, your turn, you shoot. So, you know, my brother's instructions back when I was 5 or 6 years old. So I pull it up, bang. And sure enough, I did hit that water heater. I know it's kind of a big target, but I got it. And he said, wow, that's good. Shoot again. So I pulled it up, shot again. He said, you are really good. You shot the same place twice. I thought I really did for years. I think that bullet went astray. But anyway, I'm just trying to say that there are weapons that we're familiar with, guns and knives and all kinds of things, but there are weapons right here in your mouth. This is a weapon. The scripture I wanted to use was Isaiah 54:17. It says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you is going to succeed. Boy, that's good news. That's good news. Whether you're talking about a physical weapon, whether you're talking about someone saying bad things behind your back, somebody saying bad things to your front. No weapon is going to succeed. Okay, next sentence. You will silence every voice. See, the weapon is a voice. You're going to silence every voice raised up to accuse you. Go ahead now. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Say, I'm a servant of the Lord.
I'm a servant of the Lord.
Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. In other words, God has given you the right to use your words to cast down other words. And I'm busy teaching my grandkids this as fast as I can. Nanny, they call me fat. You know, your heart's like, I'm going to beat them up for you. But no, I'm going to use my words and teach him to use his words to cast down what he thought was an insult. Just cast it down. Teaching, all the time teaching. What can you do with your words to stop the enemy? To stop the enemy. The news comes up and says, everybody's turning homosexual. I'm going to stop that word. I'm not turning homosexual, and I don't want everyone else to. So I just talk back to the news. In Jesus' name, that's not true. Oh, a hurricane. Is it Jose? Or, no, Maria. Maria is the problem now. It's coming straight toward the United States. It's going to be terrible devastation. I'm using my weapon against their weapon, and my weapon is stronger because it's based on, yes, God's word, Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So get ready to use that. And the King James says, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me I condemn. And it says, this is my inheritance. I take that word inheritance and say, this is my right. Yes. If you have an inheritance, it's yours. You can do with it what you want to. But it's my right to use my words to bring about the will of God in my life and in the earth. And you too. Go ahead. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the word of God is a weapon. And God himself is going to teach you to use it, even to the place that you can tell what people are thinking, as is it good or is it good toward me or evil toward me? Amen. Amen. God wants you to use your words to work with him in the earth. Amen. Jesus spoke what he heard from his Father. So his words had power. And let's stop a minute. We're going to camp on that a second. A lot of people say, well, you know, you'll talk about some marvelous thing, and they'll say, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. I'm here to tell you that's supposed to be us. Jesus was God, yes, but he laid aside his divinity and lived his life in the earth as a man. And so when he multiplied the food, he did it through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, his words, just like you can do it. I've tried some of these things. I'm kind of out there, as you probably noticed. Somebody tells me something that God wants me to have, I try it out. I jump on in that lion/dog. But in this case, I didn't have much money and two kids to feed, and this was an ongoing situation. So the Lord said one Sunday, invite all the people in church over to your house for lunch. About 20 or so people, 25. They didn't all come, but if some came. And I thought, Lord, I have 1 pound of hamburger meat, 1 can of beans. What you going to do about that? So I put them all in a pot and stirred it up and served it. Oh, I had some cornbread. Served it and 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 served it. And there was enough there for us to eat on all week. Next Sunday, no food, you know, running out of food again. Same thing. This went on for about 2 months that God supplied our needs supernaturally. I'm not God. I don't have God you know, I'm born of a natural man, natural woman. I'm not God in any way, but still I can work like God, like Jesus worked. Here's the scripture. Go ahead, sister. Jesus is speaking. He says, "For I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me," because he wants his words to have power. He can't just be spewing off anything he feels like or wants to. He waits till he hears God say it in his spirit inside of him, and then he says it out loud, and he says God is completely truthful. Now, we can, in fact, we must speak what we know and believe from God's word. That's why it's so important for you to be reading your Bible at home, studying your Bible, so you know God's word, you can speak God's word, and then rest assured those words out of your mouth have power. They have power. Next. We have dominion. See, that's where that dominion comes in. I've got dominion to speak God's will in the earth. I have dominion. That's why I'm always for healing, and I'm always laying hands and praying for people to be healed. I don't care if it's, I'm not moved if it's an incurable by the doctor's diagnosis. No, I'm going to Dr. Jesus. I believe God wants everyone healed. I believe that's what this teaches. I believe it, and so let's have it. And I'm going to use my words in agreement with God to have that come to pass in everyone's life that will let me. Amen. What's next? 1 John 3:22 says, "We will receive from him whatever we ask." Now let that roll around inside of you. God said he's going to give you whatever you ask. Whatever you ask. Because we obey him and do the things that please him. All right, now we're at Mark 11:22 through 25. This is the classic teaching from Jesus on faith. Jesus answered the disciples and said, "Have faith in God." He could have said, "Have faith in God's love," or "Have faith," or "Trust God." He could have said, "Trust God," or he could have said, "Believe that God's love will work for you." That's the basic foundation. Believe God loves you. Believe it. Believe it more than anything else. Your tire fell off. Can't find the tire. Can't find the lug nuts. In fact, it was a donut because you already had problems with the tire. And you don't know what to do. She believed, that was last week, she believed God loved her. So she gets out of the car, and a couple of guys from the football sports field come over and find the tire down the street, pick up the lug nuts, put it back together, help her get to the tire repair shop. The guy says, you need a tire. She said, I knew that. I knew that. She didn't get in fear. She didn't get in worry. I'm telling your testimony for you. And the guy said, "I'm closing up, but I'll take the time to sell you this tire for $10 and put it on your vehicle for you." And then they came to church last Tuesday. What an exciting time. So she had to trust that God loves her. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Here's what Jesus said. "I tell you the truth." Well, I don't expect anything else from Jesus, do you? "I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain or problem or sickness or weather or relationship problem or job issue." I'm speaking to you, job issue. "May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea." And Jesus said, "And it will happen." And it will happen. Today I was thinking about a situation I had. I worked for this company, and I was happy in the training department. And someone from another department came to me and said, "So-and-so supervisor is leaving, and we want you to apply for the job, because we want to give you the job." And I said, "Well, I'm pretty happy where I am." "Well, pray about it, think about it." So I did, and finally I thought, I think I will apply for the job. Meanwhile, they had some other applicants. When it came time to make a decision, they did give me the job, and one of the other applicants, they made her my assistant. Ooh, what a year. The whole year she was fighting against me because she thought she should have the job. She wouldn't do anything I asked her to do. She would go around me to someone above us whenever I pushed on something. She was not helpful. She was not a good assistant to me. And her attitude was that plastic smile, you know. And I knew it was plastic. And thank you for having a smile. But it would have been nicer had she been able to let go her feelings. We all would have had a much better year. I just bring that up because that was a mountain to me. And I was praying to the Lord. I love this lady. I don't have anything against her. I would have been happy had she gotten the job. I was happy with the job I had. There was no animosity, no competition, no jealousy, nothing. But it was a mountain. I prayed and prayed, what shall we do? What shall we do? Lord, help me to reach her. Help me to get through this. Help me to do this. Well, lo and behold, John said, we're moving to South Texas, so you need to quit your job. On the same day, she announced she was quitting her job and moving back to her home place. So the Lord had been working, I guess, on both of us, and that was how that was solved. But whatever problem you may have, it's a mountain. Now, a mountain signifies it's something I can't deal with. I cannot move a mountain. You know, if it was a box of Kleenex, I could do a little bit better. But if it was a box of Kleenex, I would do it. Amen. God said, say to the mountain or the problem, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. Next. Oh, you like it? But you have to really believe it. That's where you have to be trained to believe God's love more than anything else. See, I had to believe God loves me more than this girl hates me, more than this girl resents me. God loves me and he will deliver me. You must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Now, that's almost impossible, I'll tell you. The doctor says you've got diabetes, you've got heart problems, you've got cancer, you've got this and that. Well, he's an expert. How do I dare go against what he says or she says? Well, I have to have so much confidence in God, in what he said, in how much he loves me. I've got to have so much confidence that I'll say, no, in this case, I'm going to believe God. I believe you're a professional. I believe you know what you're doing, but I'm going to believe God for a miraculous deliverance. I tell you, continuing the verse, I tell you, you can pray for anything, any person, any situation, anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it'll be yours. Now you notice that's past tense. You believe you've already received it. I don't see it yet, but I believe I've already received it. Amen? Then it will be yours. But there's one more caveat. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins also. And that's just so important. So we believe God. We speak. We use our words to create something. We use our words, and then we forgive anybody and everybody. And we believe and don't doubt, and we say it's mine, whether you can see it or not. Years and years ago, there was a man in South Korea named Youngi Cho, and he felt God calling him to pastor. He had a little Bible study, and it grew and it grew. And he wasn't able to go and see all of his parishioners, so he prayed that God would give him a bicycle and a desk. A bicycle and a desk. To us, you know, we just run down the store and charge it. No, he was not in that kind of situation. And we're talking quite a few years ago, the 60s, 50s, something like that. So he prayed and he said, Lord, according to the scripture, this mountain, I want a bicycle and I want a desk. And then he told everybody, I've got a bicycle. They said, great, where is it? Let's see it. He said, it's not here yet for you to see and touch, but I have it. They said, oh, I've got a desk. Oh, let's see it. Well, it's not here yet, but I've got it. And it wasn't but a few weeks, and he did have a bicycle, and he did have a desk, and he did go on to pastor the largest church in the world. Young Icho, praise the Lord. The last slide says the point of all this. I'm not saying use your words just to make your life better. You know, I've used that saying before. My name is Timmy. Oh, my name is Timmy. I'll take all you give me. No, this is the point of all this is not for personal gain. Yes, you will gain personally, but it's not for personal gain. It's so that you can be a witness. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come on you, and you shall be a witness to Jesus. You're going to witness God. Witness Jesus in Jerusalem. That's where they lived. Judea, that was the county. Samaria, that was the next group. And the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, you will be a witness because of God moving mountains for you. Because of the voice you choose to use. Now, don't go home and make yourself a sign that says, use these and don't use these. Just let God start cleansing your words. Cleansing, you know, words come from thoughts, right? So you got to have your thoughts cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Father, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me so that I don't lose my temper. Cleanse me from saying the wrong thing to saying the right thing. Cleanse me so my words can be used by God. I want my words. And you know, that's who you call. When you need prayer, you call someone whose words are effective in prayer, right? Don't you want to be that person they call? I do. I want you to. I want this church to be. The people. We've got an emergency. Get a hold of Victory Temple Church right now and get them to pray. We got to move this mountain in Jesus' name. I believe this is God's will. I'm speaking this is God's will. I refuse to doubt. I believe God loves me and he will fix it. Amen? And that's our stand, and we won't let go. Now, I have to tell you, the devil thinks he can knock you off your belief. So when he comes knocking, would you please slam the door in his face? Don't let him in. No, don't let him in, and he'll come sneakily. Oh, I'm not the devil, really. I just have a word of reality. Reality might have to go out the window, because the reality we have is the Word of God and the will of God. Now, God is training us, not just for this life, but for the next life too, so that we can be ready to go on and continue working for God. If you think you're going to heaven, put on some golden slippers and a harp and sit around and do nothing. Sit on a cloud and play with the angels. Maybe for a little while, but there's going to be a time to work with God. What an honor. Amen. To use our dominion to work with God. Praise the Lord. Any comments you'd like to make? Yes, sir. I wish I'd given you a microphone.
Because the Lord just helped me this week. I tell you the truth, if you can't say, well, what you're talking about, we have to use words, say unto this mountain, you may you lift up and be thrown in the sea. Why did Jesus use throwing the sea? Because if you throw it in the sea, the mountain's hidden. So he's saying, get rid of your problems with your words.
Amen.
And they won't ever come back.
Amen.
See, the mountain goes in the sea, you don't see the mountain no more. I said, wow, that's good, Lord. So I'm speaking against the problems so I won't have to see them no more.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
One more. He told me just then to say, I was going, I used to live out in the country close to Austin, and it was a hailstorm. It was coming from the north, and the neighbors, I could hear the hail just beating there. I looked up there, and the the hail trimmed their trees, all the leaves on the trees. They said, they're barely coming this way. And I walked up to my feet. I said, you will not come on my property, and you stay away from me in Jesus' name. You come to my fence. It was that deep in the hail, stuck with my fence. Went over to the neighbor person. It started on this side of my fence. Started hail again, but it did not hail on my property. And we give an example, we can give a lot more. I can give another one. One time I was driving in a two-lane road, and someone was coming through me with a boat on a trailer, and the trailer started moving, and a boat come off, and it was coming down me. I'm going about 70 miles an hour. No, that's back road, so it'd be 60. And the boat was going down the road, come right at me. And I said, in Jesus' name, you stop me and get out of the way. And the boat goes, no. But I said, Jesus, stop. Words. I mean, that universe, that's going to be in you. It's going to be inside of you, believing that. Because I'm driving 60, I don't know how fast they're going. The boat come off the trailer, come flying down the road toward me, and I'm going toward it. You better have that inside of you like this. So it comes out abundance of your mouth. Come out. Oh, I'm going to die. If that's not in you, it won't come out. I was sort of say that.
Amen. Good. Amen. Good word. Good word. It is the power that we proclaim. I don't have the power to make these things happen. John doesn't have the power to make these happen. A boat, can you imagine a boat end over end coming at you? Jesus is the only thing you should say. Or stop in Jesus' name. Tell it what to do. That's why I'm always up here saying, say what you want, not what you have. Your bank account may be empty, but say what you want. Your kids may be crazy, but say what you want. Say what you want in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say what you want, saying what God can do. And God will do. Amen. Well, let's stand up. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to learn this lesson. We want to learn to use our words to work with you, to bring your glory into the earth, to be a witness of the power and the love of Jesus. Put this deep within our hearts, Lord, that we will not forget and that we will seek to know more. We praise you, Lord. I ask you to bless the people of this church. Bless their families. Bless their extended families. Father, bring miracles, signs, and wonders. Bring miraculous healing, miraculous prosperity, miraculous protection. In the name of Jesus, we call it. We believe it. We expect it. It's mine. I have it now. Say that. It's mine. I have it now. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dismissed. Hallelujah.